Such as those reasons are, it takes a very wise man to answer them all. I cannot pretend to do so. Only the Lord Himself can remove the folly which is bound up in their hearts, and lead them to take the great decisive step. Yet the Lord uses various methods and approaches. I have prepared this little book in the earnest hope that He may use it to lead seekers to an immediate, simple trust in the Lord Jesus. He who does not take the step of faith and enter upon the road to heaven will perish. It will be an awful thing to die close to, but yet outside, the gate of life. Almost saved, but altogether lost. This is the most terrible of positions. A man just outside Noah's Ark would have drowned. A murderer close to the wall of a city of refuge, but outside of it, would be slain. And the man who is within a yard of Christ, but has not trusted Him, will be lost. Therefore, I am in terrible earnest to get my hesitating friends over the threshold. Come in, is my pressing plea. Why dost thou stand outside, is my solemn inquiry. Genesis 24:31. May the Holy Spirit render my pleadings effective with many who read or listen to these pages. May He cause His own almighty power to create faith in the soul at once. My listener, if God blesses this book to you, do the writer this favor. Either lend your own copy to someone who is lingering at the gate, or buy another and give it away. For His great desire is that this little volume should be of service to many thousands of souls. To God this book is commended, for without His grace nothing will come of all that is written. C. H. Spurgeon. Chapter 1. Wake Up. Many people have no concern about eternal things. They care more about their cats and dogs than about their souls. It is a great act of kindness to be made to think about ourselves and our standing with God and the eternal world. This is often a sign that salvation is coming to us. By nature, we do not like the anxiety that spiritual concern causes us, and like sluggards, we try to ignore it and sleep again. This is great foolishness, for it is to our peril that we procrastinate when death is so near and judgment is so sure. If the Lord has given us eternal life, He will not let us return to our slumber. Scripture, of those whom Thou gavest Me, I have lost none. John 18:9. If we are sensible, we shall pray that our anxiety about our souls may never end until we are really and truly saved. Let us say from our hearts, He that suffered in my stead shall my physician be. I will not be comforted till Jesus comfort me. It would be an awful thing to go dreaming down to hell and then lift our eyes upon a great gulf fixed between us and heaven. It will be equally terrible to be aroused to escape from the wrath to come, but then to shake off the warning influence and go back to our apathy. I notice that those who overcome their convictions and continue in their sins are not as easily moved the next time. Every awakening which is thrown away leaves the soul drowsier than before, and less likely to be stirred again to holy feeling. Therefore, our heart should be greatly troubled at the thought of getting rid of its trouble in any other than the right way. One who had the gout was cured by a quack medicine, but it drove the disease within, and the patient died. To be cured of distress of mind by a false hope would be a terrible treatment. The remedy would be worse than the disease. Better by far if our tenderness of conscience should cause us long years of anguish than if we should lose it and perish in the hardness of our hearts. Yet awakening and awareness of our need is not a thing to rest in or to desire to have prolonged month after month. If I wake up in a fright and find my house on fire, I do not sit at the edge of the bed and say to myself, I hope I am truly awakened. Indeed, I am deeply grateful that I am not still asleep.